Oh, yeah, if you can remember that, you're too old, Gunga Din. I can tell you, that's Davy Jones, who was English. The late Davy Jones, he's dead now. Don't we all know how we're getting on? Mickey Dolenz was the drummer. Mike Naismith was the guy who wore the tea cosy. And the fella's name I couldn't quite recall. He was the blonde guy, a guitar player, and a guy called Peter Tork. I think he's dead as well. But Owen will tell me all about that, because every 20-year-old knows all about the Monkees, don't you, Owen?
Exactly, yeah.
The original boy band, in fact, they were created literally out of nothing and didn't perform live for many, many years.
Yeah, Peter Tork, I'm just looking here, he died in 2019 at the age of 77, yeah, so he passed away as well.
77? Jesus, oh Lord Almighty.
Yeah.
I don't remember the Monkees. My grandfather told me about the Monkees, of course.
How would you stop?
Yeah, yeah, I know.
So you were dancing away to them there, yeah.
All right, thanks for that. Oh, and I'll be back to you in a few minutes about a very funny text I know you've received. But yesterday, the latest hearing by the Oireachtas Agriculture and Marine Committee was held regarding their hearings into, I suppose, the state of the Irish horse racing industry. And in particular, there had a number of organisations before them yesterday, including the Irish Racehorse Regulatory Board. They also had the Trainers Association in Michael Grassick. We'll hear from him shortly. And HRI, with CEO Brian Kavanagh was there as well, and others from HRI. Chairperson of that committee is Fianna Fáil TD for Tipperary, Jackie Cahill, who was with us last week as well. Good morning again, Jackie.
Good morning.
Yesterday was the second of your hearings.
That's correct, yeah. We have another hearing scheduled for next Tuesday where we'll have the Department of Agriculture officials in with us. And when we have those three hearings over, we intend to meet again in private session and see where we proceed to from there. I suppose, you know, there is a lot of accusations appearing in the media and that are doing damage to the industry. There's no point in saying that or not. They are doing damage to the industry. The Horse Trainers Association yesterday had Michael Halford and Michael Grassick, who are very, very strong in the view that everything is 110% as regards our doping regime, our doping testing regime in this country. And, you know, and then a lot of people saying, you know, that's not the case. So it's problematic at the moment, and as someone said, as one of the witnesses says yesterday, how do you defend against rumour?
Yes, and I watched the hearings and listened in for nearly an hour and a half yesterday afternoon, Jackie, and I saw you in action there on the chair. And one of the things I was intrigued about, Jackie, was your instruction. This was in a second session. Your instruction to all coming before the committee that no names were to be used, was it only qualified privilege pertained and so forth. So I just said to myself, well, if it's run under constrained circumstances, what can you and your committee ascertain or, you know, reveal?
Well, I suppose, you know, without identifying the individual, you can be very... You can be very direct in your questioning, and I suppose, you know, that's what can be done. You can't name the individual directly, and you know, there was a court case over Rochester's hearing there a number of years ago.
That's right, yeah.
The members have absolute privilege, and you know, they are directed that they can't name people directly or identify people. But your questioning isn't restrained, and as you can see, the questioning can be fairly intense.
Well, let's hear some of that questioning. This is Sinn Féin TD for Cavan Monaghan, Matt Carty, and Jackie mentioned horse trainer Michael Grassick. He's now retired from horse training. His son is carrying on the operation, but Michael Grassick is the CEO of the Irish Racehorse Trainers Association.
You'll be aware, I'm sure, that BBC Panorama are preparing to broadcast a documentary. I think it's going to be entitled The Dark Side of Horse Racing. Has your organisation or any of your members been asked to contribute to that programme?
There has been, yes. There's three or four.
Are you engaging with it?
I'm aware of it, yes.
Are you engaging with the programme makers?
No, I haven't been contacted by the programme makers, no.
And any of your members?
They have been, yes.
And you're aware of some of your members?
I think they will be answering the programme themselves. I'm not aware of the substance of really what's going to take place.
Are you aware of any of your members being involved in any legal challenges in that regard or in relation to any ongoing media coverage of these issues?
None whatsoever, no.
You'll accept that these type of things, the allegations that have been made, the consistent innuendos, they're damaging to your sector, you'll agree?
Of course I agree, yes. And you know what I mean? I think an opportunity like the meeting that we're having today, and we've had the other day as well, at least we're given an opportunity to come before you and to explain our position. But I mean, it's terrible that rumours like this that circulate. You know, but as I said before, I have no information on other than rumours. That's all. I have no specific information.
Do you agree that, you know, I know one member has spoken about guilty until proven innocent. I would rephrase it that until we yes. can provide clear and very transparent evidence that robust regulatory monitoring and enforcement is actually taking place, and that some of the secrecy that pertains in the industry is actually adding to the damage of and is permitting some of those rumours, if we were to call them that, to permeate, because people who are close to the sector aren't satisfied that everything is being done in a way that would ensure maximum transparency and therefore lead to maximum confidence. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think the regulatory body, you might have a point that there should be more accountability there. But as far as I know, you know, the oversight is there from HRI regarding finance. You know what I mean? Unless the structures change in Irish racing, you know what I mean, of which... that, you know what I mean, that we would take some part in it or not, the Trainers Association. As such, we haven't been asked to do anything like that.
The trainers not have been asked, given that they're such an integral part of the racing operation. That's Michael Grasic there as Chief Executive of the Irish Racehorse Trainers Association, responding to some questioning by Matt Carthy. Indeed, he faced further questioning from other members of the Commission, and time permitting, we'll bring you that too. But Jackie, that reference again to rumours, people would say, of course, anecdotally, that there can be no smoke without fire. And much of this, of course, has been, if you like, come into the public domain because of Jim Bulger's views expressed recently, where he feels there is an extensive problem of doping in the Irish racehorse industry. Do you get, are you getting a better feel across your hearings for what might be or might not be the case?
The regulatory body have been very strong in their view that their testing is up to the highest possible standards. Dean Hilliard has given very, very strong evidence about the way that doping, the dope testing is carried out, the drug testing is carried out. And, you know, they are doing more than race testing, now more than horses in competition. They are going to, you know, pre-training yards and yards, you know, where horses are being prepared for sales as well. So they have definitely widened the remit of their testing.
There was one point, and on tomorrow's programme we're going to hear Brian Kavanagh respond to Matt Carthy. Brian Kavanagh, the CEO of HRI. And we'll also hear Lynn Hilliard, who is the Chief Veterinary Officer and Head of Anti-Doping with the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board. She faced extensive questioning from Michael Fitzmaurice. Now, I'm bringing you those two segments tomorrow because they're quite long and we'll do it just after 10 o'clock. But on the point you were just making, Michael Fitzmaurice brought up the point that the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Authority have no advance information on the exact number of horses that might be in any yard, whether trainer or stud operation, before they actually go and do their inspection.
Yeah, no, I think there have been an awful lot of valid points made over the last 2 days, both on the transparency of IHRB and the traceability of horses within the country. And I think Michael Fitzmaurice would admit himself that he knows more about cattle than he does about horses. You know exactly, if a travel official walks into Michael Fitzmaurice's yard, he can tell him exactly how many cattle is there, and you have to account for every animal. The same isn't true of horses. And I think, you know, in the modern age, that's not acceptable. And like, if they walk into a trainer's yard or a pre-training yard, or horses being got ready for sales or whatever, they should know exactly how many horses is there. Look, we, as I said, we have the third meeting next week, and then we're going to have a private meeting, and we will be making recommendations to the minister at the end of those series of meetings. So, you know, our work isn't finished yet. Definitely, everything isn't perfect, but we have got very firm assurances you know, our standard of testing is up to the highest possible international standards. I think a point that can't be missed is a lot of our horses run overseas and run very successfully overseas, and they're not showing up with any prohibited substance in any of those countries either. So I think that's a point, you know, I think that has to be made as well.
All right. Well, I know one could draw inferences yesterday for some of the remarks during the questioning of Lynn Hillier. There were kind of images springing into my mind of horse boxes fleeing out a back gate in advance of the inspectors coming to the yard. But we'll hear that questioning in full by Michael Fitzmaurice and Lynn Hillier and the Brian Kavanagh questioning tomorrow on the programme.
One more point before you leave. You know, we've been told by Lynn Hillier that this tail testing or mane testing, you know, taking samples of hair, that they can go back 3 years in a horse's history. So, you know, just getting rid of them for a day out of the yard, you know, isn't questioning the integrity of testing in the country either. But look, I'm not saying everything is perfect, but I would be, you know, our standards, Lynn Hillier especially, has been very strong in our evidence that our standards are up to the highest international standards.
Well, I have to say that I was, while being as objective as possible, I was impressed by her presentation yesterday. We're going to let you go, Jackie Cal, because I'm sure you have a pressing schedule. We have some more audio from yesterday's hearings, and indeed we'll also have the audio that I've talked to you, Brian Kavanagh and Michael Fitzmaurice, along with Lynn Hillier and Brian Kavanagh. We'll bring that to listeners tomorrow morning after 10, because we just feel here, given the county we're in, it's absolutely important that people be au fait with these hearings. Jackie Cahill, Tipperary Fianna Fáil TD and chairperson of the Oireachtas Agriculture and Marine Committee. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you very much.
All right, and good morning to you. Now, let's hear just further briefly from some of those. This is a contribution by Fianna Fáil's Joe Flaherty, who also was speaking and is putting questions to Michael Grassick.
And coming back to Michael Grassick then, where do you see yourselves then? You've clarified your representative body. In terms of the challenges that are emerging, and obviously if we get a high-profile UK TV programme, it's going to leave a light bulb on us for a very long time afterwards. Are you positioning yourselves, or where do you see your role in protecting the industry and obviously trying to address the tarnishing of that industry's reputation going forward?
Well, we will always protect the reputation of ours, but I mean, if anybody does anything wrong, well then, they have to be, you know what I mean, dealt with. You know what I mean? We can't support anybody that any wrongdoing. You know what I mean? Whether the members are non-members. I mean, we have a wonderful industry, as you say. You know, we're world leaders in racing. You know what I mean? From a small nation, and our reputation is so important, because we sell, you know, we sell to all over the world. Our horses, you know, stock. The number of international owners come to have their horses trained in Ireland. It's incredible. You know what I mean? And particularly both for the flat and for the national hunt. That is why it's our reputation brings these people to this country, both to have the horses trained and to buy our horses. Mm. So, you know, that hasn't diminished, no matter what has been said in the papers. We're still trading, and it's unfortunate this is taking place, because it to me it's unfair if all it is rumours. That's all.
Right, there's that word rumours again. All following up on Jim Bulger originally, by the way, who declined to appear before the committee in terms of his the reports in the newspapers recently. That's Michael Grassick again, Chief Executive of the Irish Racehorse Trainers Association, taking further questions there. And as I say, we'll have extensive responses from Brian Kavanagh, the outgoing CEO of Horse Racing Ireland, and from Lynn Hillier, the Chief Veterinary Officer of the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board. She's also Head of Anti-Doping with that organisation, and we'll hear that tomorrow.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, we might have to defer, in fact, I'm just looking at our schedule for the rest of the programme. That's issue on why do we share pictures of our children online, given the dangers of that. We'll have a child and adolescent psychotherapist, Coleman Nochter, and we'll definitely do that on tomorrow morning's programme, guaranteed, OK? Along with further hearings from the on the whole issue going on racing and whether there are rumours or there is substance to the fact of doping in the Irish horse racing industry. On the way, we have Crime Time with Garda Seanan Nolan, and we'll be reviewing last night's Kildare under 20s game against Offaly. But now, is he the wisest man in Ireland? Maybe. Is he the second wisest man in Ireland? Maybe. Is he the oldest man, oldest councillor in Ireland? Well, he's the second oldest councillor in Ireland. I prefer the word wisest. Shamie Moore, good morning.
Good morning, Clem. Good morning, listeners.
I have to say, Shamie, congratulations to you. I'm in awe of your achievements. If you don't mind me mentioning the fact that you're 82 years of age, and I only mention to put this in context, you have given decades of service to NAIS and to Kildare County Council and to your constituents, and you're still at it, and you must be breaking all kinds of records. Aside from being described as Ireland's second oldest councillor, and that should be taken in the most positive of manners, you're now mayor of NAIS for the fifth time, Shamie Moore.
Well, I never consider age at all in my life.
Me neither, Shamie.
I'm a really lucky person.
And Shamie, I would say this to you, neither of us are in a position to be considering age.
I'm very lucky. I enjoy good health and I have all my faculties, and I'm kept on the alert all of the time with the walks, the various things I'm interested in, and council work and community work and stuff like that. So I'm very lucky.
When were you first elected?
1994, it was a problematic time for a dirty, scrubby NAIS, and I was between careers, and I started a FOS scheme in NAIS with 25 workers, and they were great people, and we cleaned up the town over a period of 2 years, and then various rows between the state and unions and that sort of thing, and the scheme came down. But being in that particular scheme, there was absolutely no support money-wise for any works to be done. And I went for the local elections, which came up in 1994, and I topped the poll.
Oh, by God, now that's 27 years ago, Shamie. And how have you managed to keep your enthusiasm? Has it been, for example, the hundreds of thousands of euro that you were paid every year?
Well, funny enough, I've never, ever gone in for the money side of it, and I don't claim expenses and never claim expenses.
Have you not?
There are administrative expenses that come as a package.
Right.
I accept them because I would spend maybe way over €1,000 a year in cartridges for a printer, if nothing else.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
That type of stuff. And we get thousands and thousands of pages for book things we must review before plans and things like that, and I wouldn't have the skills to be able to monitor them on the screen at the same time talk about them, so I have to run them off in hard copy for myself.
All right, and Shamie, you must have been very concerned last night then with what you saw in prime time about councillors, and I'm absolutely sure that the exceptions claiming double expenses for being not alone in different places in Ireland at the same time, but in some cases being abroad and in Ireland at the same time.
I think it's shameful, but I'd be very concerned and worried that the image of the hard-working councillors that are there is being tarnished. And certainly I know my experience with councillors is that any councillor who would know of something like that, they would be, you know, dissatisfied and disgusted with it immediately.
You wouldn't have concerns that some similar issues might arise in Kildare County Council?
I wouldn't think they do. I would be aware that certain councillors don't walk at anything else except their local representation.
Ah, yeah, and that's fair enough, yeah.
And that's fair enough that they claim everything. But, for instance, a small thing like claiming for a meal when you're away at these things, people have to feed themselves when they're at home, so there's an expense for feeding yourself anyway.
I can never
understand people claiming for a meal I had to have when I was there.
Well, the only thing is, Shamie, people have to eat when they were there, or they'd starve across the day, and I understand subsistence allowances. But anyway, listen, that's for another day. Listen, you have 27 years of service, and this is your fifth time that you're going to be mayor. How did that come about?
Well, three of them are actually mayor of Naas itself, when Naas Town Council was there.
Right.
And I was the first mayor for the new municipals. I was the first mayor of Naas in 2014.
Right.
And it comes about, I suppose, there's obviously some challenges when you move from one type of authority group to another.
And have you ever thought of going into national politics?
A favourite question from a lot of people, but I've never had any ambitions except to work with the community where I live.
Well, listen now, there's a young fella in the Phoenix Park, and I think...
He's a good young fella.
He's only about 80, and he's only a whippersnapper, you know, to yourself. Would you be maybe thinking of pulling rank at some stage and going for a seat in
no,
the park?
No, I wouldn't have the corporation for it, yeah.
I think you would. Absolutely, Seamus Moore. I have no doubt whatsoever, having interviewed you for many, many years now across the last 18 or 19 years and the motions that you bring to the council as well. Look, there's loads of good wishes coming in for you, Seamus.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted.
We got a lovely email. Could I just say, I got a lovely email from your family yesterday.
Three of my family members are retired public servants. they're retired, and I'm looking for 25 hours in the day. And one of them is an active in photography of his private stuff, and I think he sent it in. I only discovered that last night.
Well, listen, we got a lovely email yesterday from your family, your sons and your daughter, congratulating you and saying how proud they were of you and what a wonderful dad you are. And here, for example, from Louise and Tomás, we get congratulations to Seamus on his election as Naas Mayor for the fifth time. It's a wonderful record for the second oldest councillor in Ireland. Now you know who told us. We in Naas are lucky to have him. Another says, Clem... Well, that's a different one, but we've got quite a few messages in regards to that. Congratulations to Seamus on his fifth election as Lord Mayor of Naas from his brother Michael and sister Gabrielle and all our families. We are very proud of him. How about that, Seamus?
It's hard to respond to things like that, but I am very proud of them as well. And they're a great backing team. And I probably have more people out canvassing for me when I go around Naas or areas. I've got a 25 or 30 and they're all moors.
Well, listen, I'm going to move you with this one now because it says, best of luck to a great man, Seamus Moore, in becoming Mayor of Kildare yesterday, Mayor of Naas, from Colette and Martin Byrne. And here's a lovely one. I want to wish Seamus Moore, Dad, the very best in his new term as Mayor of Naas, a fantastic achievement from your son, Dermot.
Oh, Dermot, yeah. They're very good people. My family are very good and very supportive and still wouldn't get into local politics or any form of politics.
Well, you wouldn't blame them for that because they've had to put up with you for the last 27 years.
And that's very true. I just thought I was a good example and they don't follow me.
Well, you are. And one final word on this, Seamus. Just, of course, behind every great man is a great, great woman, and you suffered the bereavement of losing your wife in the last year. And that left a huge void in your life.
It left a huge void yesterday as well.
I understand, Seamus. I understand. Listen, I want to say you're a great guy to deal with. I know that I've dealt with you both here on the programme and also at soccer level with Naas United. And you do so much work in the community. I think you epitomise all that's good about a local politician, and that is representative of what the vast majority of councillors do on behalf of the people in this county and in counties around Ireland as well. And I know I speak for every one of them when around the county, not just in Naas, in conveying our congratulations and best wishes, and long may you live to enjoy your time with you and your family, and indeed have a great, great year as Mayor of Naas. Because two messages coming in that bookended, Seamus. Congrats to Seamus from all the past pupils of the Old Army Apprentice School in Naas. Seamus is the driving force behind the restoration of the old barracks, and I think this message is the one that'll really sum you up. It describes Seamus, a great and honourable man. Cogorgicus, Seamus Moore. Have a great, great year.
Thank you very much, Clement. Thanks to all the listeners and the people in Ace who elected me in the first case.
All right, indeed. Great, great story. And we thought it just right that we should mark such service to the county. Coming up, we have Crime Time.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
So Joe says in a text, so you're saying, Clem, I shouldn't believe everything I hear on the radio. Is that it, Clem? Yes, Joe. You shouldn't. Always, you know, always exercise discretion in regards to what you hear anywhere, not just on the radio or whatever else like that. And lots of messages for Shamie Moore, I have to say, in regards to that. So keep those coming. On the way, we'll have Ger McNally, a review of last night's game, and also the issue brought up by a listener yesterday on the programme, Pat Deering, in regards to what he says are the unacceptable pressures being placed on club players to fulfil too many fixtures every week. And he wondered why, and he put forward reasons in yesterday's interview. We asked Kildare County Board for a statement. We've got a statement from them. It might take an hour to read or whatever else. Owen, over to you first.
Yeah, thanks, Clem. We're going to turn our attentions now to Crime Time.
And I have to do this, Owen. Thank you.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Nace. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
And joining us this morning is Garda Shona Nolan of Nace Garda Station. Good morning to you, Shona. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Morning.
We'll take a look then at issues from around the county, various different towns. And we'll start off, Shona, in Kildare Town.
Yeah, there was a burglary last night, well, 2 o'clock this morning actually, in the Maryville estate in Kildare Town. Approximately 4 to 5 males entered a home and they pushed past the owner at the door. They caused damage to a TV and to doors, internal doors in the house. Now, obviously, this was quite stressful and distressing for the owner of the house, so we'd be eager to speak to anyone that witnessed or the fact that 4 to 5 males were involved. I'm sure there was an element of noise. This house is located off the Mileta Road in Kildare Town, opposite St. Barbara's Park direction. So these males could have gone back out direction of the Curragh or back into Kildare Town. So any information at all will be greatly appreciated by the guards in Kildare Town.
So that happened in the early hours of this morning. Any information
morning,
on the vehicle
yeah.
that they got away in yet,
no,
Shona?
It's unknown if there's a vehicle involved. The best we have is that 4 to 5 males entered the home. So if they're on foot, the fact that 2 in the morning and 4 to 5 were hanging around together, possibly running, you can imagine, towards the town or towards the Curragh, and it would be noticeable and that someone might remember seeing this.
Okay, and anyone with information to contact Kildare Town Gardaí. On then to an incident in Newbridge, Shona.
In Newbridge, in the Lower Eyre Street area, this was yesterday at approximately 4:15 during the day. This premises is actually close to Flanagan's Pub, but not the locals know it there, and also on the junction of James Street and Eyre Street. The owner of the premises observed 2 males at the door of her premises, and they're attempting to open the lock using a credit card type implement. So she obviously disturbed them and they left on scene. Again, unsure of the direction they went, and thankfully nothing was taken from the premises, but we would be eager to speak to anyone who witnessed anything. If they can give the guards a new British house, 045 431 212.
Okay, and on then to Athy, what happened here?
Criminal damage incident. Again, it was late last night, early this morning, approximately 1 o'clock, in the Coney Meadows estate. The owner of the home reports 2 males after smashing a window of her house, and they ran in the direction of Coney Green. Now, it's possible that these youths or these males ran on towards the train line, or if they ran out of the estate, they ran in the direction of the Thai or McGainey. Again, I'm sorry, we don't know if the car was involved, but if anything or if anyone witnessed or heard anything, please give the lads in a Thai shot. Happened last night. This morning, approximately 1 o'clock.
Okay, and then finally for now, Shona, an incident in Kilcock.
In Kilcock, this is Rybridge Way. It's in the Rybridge estate. A vehicle was damaged during the day, Friday the 9th of July, and the owner left it parked up at 9:30 in the morning and returned at 6:30 to notice that the back windows were smashed. It's 191 Kader Reg, black Ford Kuga, parked up for the day on Friday. So the Right Ridgeway area, I don't know if your listeners are familiar with it, in Kirkcaldy, it's near the Summerhill Road area, and if you come out of the estate, you're kind of going either right in the direction of the cemetery or left back into Kirkcaldy village. So if anything, again, during the day, if children arrive about and they notice someone at a car, please just give the lads and leave stuff to shout. Now, I know we just finished up on crime there, Owen, but just to let you know that the Garden Mace station seized a dog, or found a dog, in the Monreed Park area last night. It's an adult male, and it's crossed possibly between a pit bull and a boxer. It's predominantly brown colour with white markings and has a black harness on it. So if anyone knows of anyone that's missing a dog, or your family, or it looks well cared for, it's quite an expensive harness on it, please call into Mace Guard Station so you can identify the dog. And also some positive news, there were drugs captured there Friday the 9th of July, 9 p.m. the Newbridge crew searched 3 miles in the estate in the town and found to be in possession of cannabis herbs and jellies, and cannabis jellies obviously. And at 10 p.m. the Maynooth crew searched a male in the town, and this person was found to be in approximately a large quantity of cannabis herbs. This obviously is great work carried out by the Leixlip and Kildare District Drug Units, and with a total of 5,000 worth of drugs seized on Friday the 9th of July. So it's okay. A bit of good news for a change.
Great stuff, absolutely, and great work done by the Gardaí there in Newbridge. And again, if anyone is missing that dog from the Monreed area of Naas, get in touch with Naas Gardaí. And back to the issues we covered then as well in Kildare Town, Newbridge, Athy and Kilcock. If there's any information on that, get in touch with your local Garda station. But for the moment, Garda Shona Nolan of Naas Garda Station, thanks indeed, Shona.
Thanks a million. Take care. Bye-bye.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas. PSA licensed. 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.
Okay, Owen, thank you for that. Now, a reminder again of those waterworks that are going to happen in Clane tomorrow and in Selbridge on Friday. Tomorrow, repairs to a burst water main will be carried out in the Liffey Lawns, Abbey Court, Butterstream Drive, Butterstream Lawn and Prosperous Road in Clane. Those works will go on between 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. tomorrow morning on that burst water main. And obviously, there's going to be problems in regards to that as well, in regards to waterworks. Now, essential repairs are being carried out at Johnstown Village today, and the supply to Johnstown, Cardiffstown, Goffs, Kill West and the surrounding area will be affected between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. today. Again, those areas today, supplies to Johnstown, Cardiffstown, Goffs, Kill West and the surrounding area, works continuing since 10 and interruptions to supply until 4 o'clock to do those works. Again, reminding you that there was a water outage as well in Millrace that was, I think, yesterday. And those works should have been sorted in regards to that now. But also, as we told you, there are works being carried out in the Selbridge area on Friday as well in regards to that, as well as those areas in Clane tomorrow. That the works in that, I'm just looking for the Selbridge works now, which seem to be gone missing to me in regards to, but we'll see what we can do in regards to finding those in a couple of minutes' time. But first, let's go indeed. Oh yeah, I have the Selbridge one now. And this will happen on Friday. Repairs to a valve will be carried out by Kildare County Council Water Services, and there'll be interruptions in supply to Priory Chase, St. Raphael's Manor, and those interruptions will happen between 10 and 5 on Friday. 10 and 5 tomorrow in Clane, and today we've told you about the ones in Kill, Johnstown, and that as well. Let's say good morning to Ger McNally, who was a very busy man this week and will be even busier coming up to the weekend. Ger, welcome aboard again. And what has happened, Chair, there? Yes, so I put up the wrong one. Yeah, thanks. You're on the phone, Chair. Thanks. Good morning to you. Yeah,
good morning, Clem. Good morning.
Now, well done to yourself and Pat Costello last night on a fantastic commentary. Strange game this, Chair. I listened to it all through as I updated our Twitter. And Kildare were more than a match for Offaly in the first half, leading at times, and went in at the break 11 points each. But what a different story in the second half.
Yeah, I think just the exertions of the last couple of weeks probably caught up with Kildare in the last half, and particularly in the last 10 minutes, because even though Offaly were the better side for the majority of the, well, for all the second half, there was only 3 points in it with 10 minutes to go, and it was just when Offaly got their first goal in the 50th minute that the Kildare heads dropped a little bit, and the fresh legs of Offaly, who were playing their first game in the Championship, really began to tell, because Kildare, don't forget, have had two really, really tough games in the last 2 weeks, beating Carlow by a point, and then that huge exertion last week, playing with 14 men for most of the game against Wexford, and the emotional high that they would have had from that game as well, and the days after it. I think just all that kind of caught up with Kildare. It's pretty difficult in these Championship structures, because players at Kildare's level, they want games, they need games to develop, but then by the time they get into the latter stages, they're facing teams who are playing their first game of the Championship, and Offaly are a very good side themselves, and I think that just told in the last 10 minutes particularly.
Well, let's hear a word from the match. Kildare did get a consolation goal right in time. Was it David Qualter scored that goal?
Yeah, right in the match.
With a name like Qualter, he's got to have Galway connections in regards to that.
He does.
To be a very promising hurler, I believe, as well. But really, the score, Chair, in fairness, before we hear from Patty English, that score, it flatters Offaly in a way, or let's put it this way, without taking from Offaly, who will now play Dublin in Parallel Park in the semi-final next Tuesday night. But it doesn't do justice to the Kildare effort.
No, absolutely not. And anybody looking at the final score, it was 225 to 116, will be thinking that Kildare were hammered off the pitch, but that certainly wasn't the case. And just the way the hurling is, if a side gets a bit of momentum, they can do an awful lot of damage.
And I actually remember you saying in your post-match analysis with Pat Costello last night that Kildare were still within just a couple of points of them with about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, Kildare actually had a bit of a spell out of the water break going into the last 10 minutes. There was 3 points in it, and we were saying at that stage, if Kildare get a goal here, they could actually go on and win this game. But as it worked out, Offaly got the goal. They went 6 points clear, and Kildare heads dropped a little bit then. And kind of once the game was gone away from them, Offaly were able to make hay then in the last kind of 5 or 6 minutes. And they got a second goal as well and really rubbed it in. But as you said, at least with the very last strike of the game, David Qualter pulled the goal back for Kildare to put some sort of more respectability on the scoreline. That was well deserved from a Kildare point of view.
Well, let's hear from manager Pat English.
We're the third week on the trot again. 3 weeks where it's very warm as well, and all adds up. You wouldn't have said it at half time. In fairness to Offaly, they were able to step it up a gear. We just didn't have that extra punch. We probably needed a goal with sort of 10 minutes to go. They got the goal with 10 minutes to go when there was 4 points in it, and all of a sudden it's gone, and they're still only young from this, learning their trade. So, but very, very happy with the effort, the attitude, and the performance that they put in. Scoreline, it doesn't matter whether you win by or lose by a point or whatever. Really, really happy with their attitude and how they performed all year. When they look back, they'll say, right, we'll remember the Wexford match, but this one will hurt because what was it, 11 all at half time, and then we just needed to get that score after half time. We didn't get it, they got 2 or 3. We probably need to get simpler scores as well. So look, it's over. This road is done. We're at a crossroads, and it's up to them where they want to go.
Indeed, up to them where they want to go. And on that note, Chair, simply superb work being done, not alone with those lads. And you were making the point during your commentary last night and the analysis afterwards with Pat that a number of these players will be part of David Herity's senior squad, possibly as early as this weekend.
Yeah, well, Colin McCabe and Keane Shanahan at least will certainly be involved. They go straight back into the squads. They were probably training with the squad all the way through the year, and they were released to play in the Under-20 Championship. So at least those two will be training this week with the senior squad, with a view to being involved on Saturday, and maybe a couple of others as well. And looking further forward, there's certainly going to be a number of those guys playing in the senior jersey in the years to come. But in the nearer future, the large majority of those will be available at Under-20 again next year. Pat English wasn't really in any humour to be talking about next year, and I suppose the last 12 months that we've had, you can't take anything for granted, but the large majority of that squad is still young enough to be eligible next year, so it's definitely bright days ahead. And of course we have the minors tonight, Wexford,
arriving back in Newbridge again. The under-20s probably haven't made it any easier for the minors, because I'm sure Wexford will be absolutely gunning to make sure they've not had two defeats against Kildare in the space of a week, but it's another opportunity to show the work that's been done at underage level in Kildare hurling tonight.
Yes, indeed, and you'll have live updates on that game tonight, Chair, from 7:30, news about 7:20, Chair, on updates on the minor game. And don't forget, what a busy weekend. You haven't been divorced yet, Chair, have you?
She expects it at this stage, this time of year.
Right, I mean, Annie must be fed up of walking those lovely dogs at this stage in terms of Chair, because Chair will be in Parnell Park on Saturday afternoon. Full commentary of Kildare against Westmeath.
Kildare Mead on Saturday in the hurling.
Kildare Mead, and it's a relegation battle from the Joe McDonagh Cup in Parnell Park. Chair and former star Mark Maloney will be in commentary for that. And then Sunday on into Croke Park for the Leinster football semi-final with Johnny Doyle and Peter McConnon. Full commentary on that from around 1:45. Sportsbeat will begin next Sunday. How busy it is. Well done, Chair. You're doing a great, great job. And thanks indeed to Pat Costello for his contribution on match analysis last night. We'll talk to you again, Chair. Meanwhile, Pat Deering was on the programme yesterday and he was complaining about what he said is the undue pressure being placed by Kildare County Board fixtures schedule on club players, and he said it's to the detriment in particular of rural clubs with small panels and threatens their future existence, and he wanted something done about it. He said, I have to say that I'm fearful for the future, particularly for small rural clubs which have been the heartbeat of the community for generations. My appeal is to the powers that be is simply stop and examine the situation at grassroots level, show cooperation, give leadership and hope to such clubs. Otherwise, the few who are working at club level, particularly in the smallest club, will walk away and things will fail. We ask Kildare County Board for a statement. Have we got a minute left, Owen? I take it. We got a statement anyway.
We do.
Not saying, well, was it half a book?
Well, I'll read it out anyway, and we can make our own mind up. So it came in this morning, and it says, it is open to all members of the Gaelic Athletic Association in County Kildare to raise any queries or concerns they may have on any issue with their local club. The club will then determine how to address any such issues and, if appropriate, bring them to the attention of the county board. And that's the
end. Go on, read on.
That's the end of the statement.
That's the end of the statement?
It is.
Two lines.
Yeah.
Right. Would the board not have been better off just maybe going into a bit more detail or explaining why the schedule is so pressing on clubs and that they're trying their best, which we understand they absolutely undoubtedly are, and they're caught between a rock and a hard place. But anyway, that's the answer we got from Kildare County Board. If it's bothering you, complain to them. I wonder where that would get you, though.